But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. We want to preach to you this morning on that verse of Scripture, and the subject, His grace is sufficient. The Apostle Paul testified of the grace of God that was with him. Paul said, I am what I am. I'm a Christian today because of God's grace. I strive and I seek to live for the Lord, but I can only do it through God's grace. So God's grace then is sufficient for all I need. What a great comfort and encouragement to know that we are not alone if we would but believe it. That's our problem, Christians. I'm afraid we sometimes don't truly believe that God's grace is with us and that it is sufficient for all of our needs. No matter what it is, God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is enough. You think about it. We don't need anything yet.
Amen.
Brother, if we had it all and we didn't have God's grace, we wouldn't have anything. So God's grace is sufficient. No matter for what the trial is that comes into our life, the temptation, the persecutions, the afflictions of what we must suffer, His grace is sufficient. Oh, let Satan and all the forces of hell come against the people of God, and God's grace will still be sufficient to see us through. I would hope and I would pray this morning that we would learn this lesson, that God's grace is sufficient for our every need. That God would make it real to each one of His people that are gathered here this morning. That He'd make His grace so real to our hearts and our minds that when it calls us to take our thoughts and our eyes off of self and off of the world and put them where they should be, on things which are above, with God. God's grace is sufficient. The Apostle Paul had to say this in 2 Corinthians in chapter 4 and verse 8 and 9. He said, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed.
Amen.
Troubled on every side a lot of times. Seems like sometimes to me, and I know it's of the Lord, that His grace might be manifest to me. But this seems like sometimes that I'm almost at the end of my patience. Or I'm almost to the end of something that came into my life, and it seems like there's no way out. There's not any hope, and I'm at a loss as to what to do. But God says His grace is sufficient. Paul said His grace is with me. And that's what Paul's saying here. In that verse 8 he said, but we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are at a loss. That's what that word perplexed means in the Greek. We're at a loss sometimes as to what to do or where to turn. But he said, but not in despair. Not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsake.
Amen.
Oh, God's grace is sufficient for every one of us here this morning that know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Persecuted but not forsaken. Not forsaken. God says He'll never forsake us or leave us. But yet we act like sometimes that God's grace is not sufficient for our needs. But I tell you this morning, it is. I speak to you this morning concerning that subject, that God's grace is sufficient, and the experience of one of God's own, the Apostle Paul, and what he endured, and how he could still say God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is with me. That was given to Paul. It's recorded in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, if you'd like to turn that. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. That was given to the Apostle Paul, a thorn in the flesh. The messenger of Satan to buffet him. In 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 7, it's Paul says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations," that is what God had revealed to the Apostle Paul, "there was given to me a thorn in the flesh." And I'm not going to speculate on what that thorn was, like I've heard so many do. It was his eyes. He was going blind. It may have been. I don't know. It doesn't say. Some jokers said it was his wife was thrown in the flesh. You know, all that speculation is foolishness. God's Word says it was a messenger of Satan to buffet me. Why don't we just accept that? Paul said God gave me a thorn in the flesh. Oh, that was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. We get, sometimes I think, too high. We get big-headed. Because things go along, seems like everything's going along just fine, and we begin to get our eyes off of the Lord, and put our eyes on self. And sometimes God has to give us a thorn in the flesh, in order that we might be brought down to where we realize just who we are.
Amen.
Said, "Lest I should be exalted above measure." And Paul said, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." Paul prayed. Paul prayed thrice that God might remove the thorn. But you know, it wasn't in God's purpose. And it may not be in God's purpose to remove the thorn that we have. In order that He might keep us humble, that we might keep us dependent upon Him instead upon self. And He said unto me, "My grace is sufficient." Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect." That is, my strength is made complete in weakness. We don't like to be weak, do we? We like to be strong. But let me tell you something, folks. To please God, we need to be what we are: weak, helpless, without any means of our own, in order that we might serve Him. Look back again, if you would, at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10. He said, "I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." Paul didn't give glory to himself for the accomplishments Paul realized that it was of God's grace that he was able to do anything, that he could go forth and preach this blessed gospel.
Amen.
That he could proclaim the whole counsel of God to the people of God. Paul credited it all to God's grace. No credit to himself because none was due. I wonder when Paul prayed. If he prayed like we pray sometimes. Lord, would you remove the thorn and then have God come back with the answer? Yeah, I'm going to remove the thorn, Paul, so you can serve me. That's the way we pray a lot of times. Instead of praying, God, nevertheless, thy will be done. And we get upset because we pray, and it seems like the thorn's still there. Well, maybe God wants it there. In order that we might stay humble and dependent upon Him for all things. I have a hard time accepting the idea of some Christians that we live two lives. We live one life on Sunday, and maybe on Wednesday night if we have Wednesday night services, and then we live another life during the week. Where's God's grace during those days of the week? We give no glory to God. Is God's grace only sufficient for the Lord's day? Or is it sufficient for every day, for all of our needs? That's why we are a lot of times. We want the blessings of God, but not the sufferings. Not the sufferings for His name's sake. Oh, we don't mind suffering a little bit maybe on Sunday morning if we had to, but what about during the week? Listen, God's grace is sufficient for every day. I think sometimes we're not the Christian that we could be and should be, because we don't really realize just how sufficient God's grace is. We strike out to do that in the flesh which can't be done and please God. God gave the Apostle Paul a thorn in the flesh. Keep Paul from being exalted above measure. If we don't have a thorn, maybe we need one. In order that we might realize just how precious God's grace is and how needed it is in our life. Paul, God said to Paul, except you be exalted above measure. You know what he's talking about? Old pride. That thing which God hates. When we get exalted above measure, that's being a proud Christian and not a dependent, humble Christian. One that's strong in their own selves, in their own ability, in their own strength, in their own knowledge. I tell you this, they know not I realize not the grace of God in the lives. Don't you know that these things are of the flesh and are not pleasing to God? What we need is God's power in our lives in order that we might better serve Him. And that's by grace, or through grace. That's what we need. In order to serve Him, we have to be weak. And that's a hard thing to swallow, to be weak. Not to want to do in the flesh instead of look unto the Lord. He said, my strength is made perfect, accomplished in weakness. Yes, God said no to Paul. And I say to you that God many times says no to us today. When it comes to this thing of a thorn in the flesh, God said, no, I'll not remove it. Because I want you to learn a lesson, Paul. My grace is sufficient. I want you to learn a lesson this morning, Christian. God's grace is sufficient. I know some have endured many hardships, have suffered many things for His name's sake. I don't know about you, but I like to read these old stories of Baptist history and how God's people suffered. And many of them went to that death, some in the flames, some in the water, some beaten to death, some beheaded. But they knew, they all died knowing that God's grace was sufficient. And I don't know about you, but I believe that God's grace is sufficient even when we come to that point of dying. I believe God gives His people dying grace. Just as those old Baptists of years gone by suffered and died. God help us. It's my prayer that God might bring us to that place of realize that His grace is sufficient plus nothing. Nothing else. His grace. And His grace alone. We may yet go on undergo many trials. I'm sure we will. We may yet go through many persecutions or afflictions and sufferings for His name's sake before we reach the portals of glory. But God help us to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, look to our God for that grace that is sufficient for all of our need. This same man, Paul, had this to say as he was approaching the end of life's road. As he looked back on his own life, in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 11, he had this to say, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me.
Amen.
The Lord
Lord delivered me. Paul said I didn't get out of it myself. It wasn't someone else that aided me or helped me to get through these things, but he said the Lord delivered me. Oh, I wish that we could all come to that place and give God all the credit and all the glory. When He delivers us. When I stop some time and think what others have suffered, it's gone on before me, and I think many to take have suffered for Christ's sake and for the gospel. I feel ashamed of the way I've complained for the little I've suffered. Let me relate, if I could, as we come to the close of the message, what Paul suffered in life. And then look at your own life. And as you look at your own life, ask yourself, why? Why haven't I suffered for Jesus' sake? For the sake of the gospel. We sang that song a while ago, "Oh, how I love Jesus." I don't see anything wrong with that song. But I had a deacon one time that had it. Did you hear what the song said? "Oh, how I love Jesus because He first loved me." He didn't like it because it says, "Oh, how I love Jesus." My friend, I say to him, I said to him, and I say to you, if you don't love Jesus, it's because the love of God is not in you. And that ought to give you great concern. But let me relate to you what Paul suffered in life, and hope that it might be an encouragement to each of us. As we see how God's grace was sufficient for even the worst of sufferings. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and beginning at verse 23, he said, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. And labor is more abundant. In stripes above measure. In prisons more frequent. In debt oft," or in debts plural, "of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes. Save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." Who is weak? And I am not weak. Who is offended and I am not burned? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. What's Paul saying? Paul's saying that God's grace was sufficient for all of these things. And I dare say, not many of us has undergone any, if any, of the things the Apostle Paul went through, but yet all gave God the glory for His grace. Paul said he came to the point of when he was glorying in his infirmities. These things that were coming into his life, Paul was glorying in those. Oh, that we might come to that place where we could glory in the things, the afflictions and the persecutions, the temptations, the trials, that we might glory in them and give praise to God for His grace. There may be some here this morning that when faced with these trials of life, you probably like me, a lot of times you haven't fared too well. Because when these things came, we grumbled and complained, and we set out to do something about it, not even considering God or His grace. You haven't fared too well. You may ask this morning, what can I do to realize this grace in my life? What can I do? Well, God gives us the answer in His Word, what we can do. In Hebrews chapter 4, very familiar passage of Scripture. Let me begin at verse 15. Hebrews chapter 4. And I believe it was the Apostle Paul that wrote Hebrews. He said, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need." That's the answer. There's the answer, verse 16. Let us come boldly. And the word boldly means come saying all. Come before God and pour out your heart before Him. And you'll find mercy and grace in time of need. Come boldly to the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God's grace is sufficient this morning if we may but realize it. For all the trials. If we would just get our mind off of self and put our mind on God, put our mind on things above, and go to the throne of grace, saying all. Tell the Lord all the troubles. Tell the Lord about all the trials. I've said this many times, and Lord willing, I'll say it many more if the Lord lets me live. We wait too late sometime to begin praying. God's grace. Lord, start praying before the trouble gets you, before the trials come. before the afflictions come, before the persecutions come. In fact, we ought to be praying every day. We ought to be at the throne of grace. Because it's at the throne of grace we can find mercy. And that grace which is sufficient for every need. Let's all stand our feet and be dismissed with a word of prayer. We appreciate